Welcome back to Through the Word, and today's chapter is Deuteronomy 11, and it's rad. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and yep, I still say rad. It's an 80s thing. You'd have to live through it to get it. This chapter is amazing. You know, things can easily get out of focus, and the first half of the chapter has a theme, what your eyes are focused on. Now, the second part of the chapter will be about what your ears are picking up on or listening to. So pay attention with your eyes and your ears to what Moses is about to say, because that's what he's telling them. In verses 2 through 6, Moses says, "It wasn't they, your fathers, who saw the discipline of God, his majesty, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed, and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses, its chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea, as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done." Moses is telling them, it wasn't the generation before you who saw it, but you. Each generation has the same choice. What are you going to do? And Moses wants to lay that responsibility right at their doorstep. These verses are the equivalent of Hebrews telling us in the New Testament to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Moses is telling them to lock their sights onto God's promises, laws, and deeds, like the Terminator locking onto Sarah Connor's with a laser-sighted digital lock bent on one thing until it never stops, never gives up, but keeps coming until it reaches its objective. And what is that objective that Moses is telling them to lock onto by obeying the commandments? Well, he starts in verse 1 by saying to love God. Verse 8 continues this chapter saying, "Observe, therefore," that's a looking word, "all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you're crossing to the Jordan to possess." He continues this thought in verse 8 through 15, telling them that this land isn't quite like Egypt, which was dry and arid, but rather this is a watered garden that, quote, drinks rain from heaven. Verse 11 and verse 12, Moses says, "The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end." That's the theme of looking continue, but this time we see that God is constantly looking at this land. In other words, Moses is saying, you fix your eyes on him and God will fix his eyes on you and what concerns you. It's really awesome to see that God doesn't give them anything but the best. After all, the promised land is the land of promise. It's the best land there is. And here Moses is drawing a comparison to Eden, where it was said that God planted a well-watered garden in Genesis chapter 2. Israel was a part of the Fertile Crescent, the cradle of civilization. It was here that cities first were built. And no wonder, because according to both the Bible and significant amounts of archaeology, it had all the conditions for a culture to thrive. And here, God was going to create a mini version of Eden, teaching them to live in a loving relationship with him, like he intended with Adam and Eve. But we know how that story turned out in Genesis 3, and according to Moses, it's not going to go very well for the Israelites either. As Moses lists out all of the blessings of obeying God, it's like he's putting together a ginormous salad. Taking the ingredients in verses 1 through 15, we have some plump, juicy vegetable produce that the land will make for us. Let's toss that in the salad bowl. There's fertile grains. Put those in. Wine and vinegar. Hey, that makes a good dressing. Check. Oil, it's flowing freely. Check that in. Dairy. Hey, while we're at it, since we got some cattle that's pretty fat, let's make this a steak salad. Chuck it all in there. Mix it around. These blessings are going to make the best salad you've ever eaten. The blessings are so high that Moses unpacks in this chapter that the ingredients are practically jumping into the bowl to bless us with the best salad of their own accord. But in verse 16, God flips it. He tells them what would happen if they don't obey. And it's like God just takes that salad bowl and flips it upside down, flinging it into the dirt. And if you've ever seen your salad fall into the dirt, you know, it ain't coming back from that. Like a reverse negative, God tells them all of the opposite will happen to them. His anger will burn. Rather than fat raindrops, the heavens will shut themselves up. And everything will wither and decay instead of blossoming and fruiting. Cattle will shrink into emaciated skeletons who don't produce, and so on. You get the picture. Therefore, God says in verse 18, fix these words into your hearts and minds. Again, it's a way of fixing our gaze or our attention to something, this time his word. He repeats the commands to make them a part of your daily lives. Inscribe them into your doorposts. Now, they didn't have refrigerators back then, or God might have just said, hey, pin it up there with a magnet. But back then, you had to carve it into your doorframe with a knife. Hey, that'll do. As a bonus, verse 22 through 25 tells them, not only will they hold ground, they'll take it. The kingdom will expand. They'll be unstoppable, an unstoppable force. Everywhere they walk, everywhere their feet trod, will be theirs. They'll never run out of land. As a side note, sadly, it was only briefly during David's reign that this actually became the case and the kingdom radically expanded. It's called the Golden Age of Israel, and it was all because David took God at his word and was keen to obey, and Israel inherited all the blessings. In other words, they got to eat the salad. Then Moses does something really cool in verse 26. To drive the point of the blessings and cursings home, he tells him he's going to have them cross between two mountains when he's done preaching. And as they march through the valley, the Levites will divide into two sections, one on each of the two peaks, and they'll shout the blessings off of one mountain peak, and on the other mountain peak, the other half of the Levites will shout out the cursings. Which they'll experience depends on them and which direction they turn after they pass through the valley and into the wide open space west of the Jordan River. As they funnel through that channel, through that valley, into the promised land, the choice will be theirs. And so Moses writes, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of your Lord your God and turn from the way I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you're going to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on the Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan westward toward the setting sun near the trees of Morah in the territory of the Canaanites living in Abra in the vicinity of Gilgal. You're about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. When you've taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey the decrees and laws I'm setting before you today. We all have that choice. Moses is telling them, the choice is yours. Don't blow this. Read Deuteronomy chapter 11 today, and as you do, decide what you'd rather have, a salad in the bowl or lettuce in the dirt.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.